Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 18, Text Number 14. Great sages perform. All the great sages transform Brihaspati into a calf, and making the senses into a pot, they milked all kinds of Vedic knowledge to purify words, mind, and hearing. Purport. Brihaspati is the priest of the heavenly planets. The Vedic knowledge was received in logical order by the great sages through Brihaspati for the benefit of human society, not only on this planet, but throughout the universe, throughout the universes. In other words, Vedic knowledge is considered one of the necessities for human society. If human society remains satisfied simply by taking grains from the planet Earth, as well as other necessities for maintaining the body, society will not be sufficiently prosperous. Humanity must have food for the mind and ear, as well as for the purpose of vibration. As far as transcendental vibrations are concerned, the essence of all Vedic knowledge is the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. In Kali Yuga, if this Vedic Maha Mantra is chanted regularly and heard regularly by the devotional process of Shravanam Kirtanam, it will purify all societies, and thus humanity will be happy both materially and spiritually. Rishaya Duruhur Devim Indriyeshu Apta Sattama Vatsam Brihaspatim Kritva Payash Chando Mayam Shuchi. All the great sages transformed Brihaspati into a calf, and making the senses into a pot, they milked all kinds of Vedic knowledge to purify words, mind, and hearing. Mukham Karoti Bachalam Pangam Langayate Garim Yud Kripa Taha Ambande Shri Gurun Dinataninam. So, in these verses, in this section, verses we're reading now and the verses that will follow, we'll see how different classes of living entities took advantage of the auspicious situation that was present when the earth surrendered to Maharaj Prithu. When the earth, in the form of a cow, surrendered to Prithu Maharaj, then she was agreeing that I will give all the wonderful essences which are stored within me to you, because you are pious king. She explained to him that she'd been holding back the bountiful riches that the earth has to provide to the human being. She was holding it back because only demons were in charge. Demon meaning that Maharaj Vena. So this is the relationship the earth has with human society. That if human society is impious, if they are lusty and foolish, we were saying the other day, using only 10% of the brain, if they're like this, then she considers human society to be a burden on her back, a heavy burden, and she feels pressed down by this. Whereas if human society is intelligent and led by proper leader, then of course burden is still there, but it is called burden of love. Just like, for instance, a child, you see, and a bag of bricks may weigh the same thing, you see. But mother or father will very happily pick up the child. You see, the child may weigh some, say, 10, 20 kilos, whatever, but very happily will pick up the child and carry for long distance. But if you give that same person here's a bag of bricks, weighs the same as the child, then they will feel very distressed after just a few steps. What is this? Why am I carrying these bricks? So like that, Mother Earth, she doesn't mind to carry the human population if they are pious. In fact, we find in the Krishna book that 5,000 years ago, there were many, many more human beings on this planet than now. Just see the figures given for the Yadu dynasty. There were millions and millions and millions. There was no problem, actually. Things were much more opulent in those days than now. Now, there's only a fraction of that human population present on Earth now, but they're all asuras. Either directly asuras, the leaders are asuras, demons, or indirectly asuras because they follow those demons. Prabhupada said 90% of the population of the planet now, they're actually innocent, but they're acting like demons because their leaders are giving that example. But actually they're innocent. The leadership would change if pious, godly kings were put in charge. They would follow them. But now they're being misled. Anyway, either directly or indirectly, but the fact is that human society is demoniac, and therefore Mother Earth is withdrawing her support of the human society. And this is manifesting in these increasingly inhospitable planetary conditions. For instance, the deserts on this planet now are increasing by some amazing proportion. I don't know the figures. I think I might have them upstairs somewhere, the exact figures. But some enormous amount, of thousands of square kilometers every year is being lost to deserts. Especially like in Africa, this Sahara Desert, which is the greatest desert in the world. It is growing. It grows every year. It gets bigger. More land on the border is lost to it. Land which is green becomes brown and no water. So it's increasing, it's growing and growing. All over the world, these deserts are growing. So this means the people on the earth are impious. It means that they're killers of cows and Brahmins. This is the punishment. Persons who are killers of cows and Brahmins, they have to live in deserts. And then some religion will be there for them also. Desert religion. Religion for killing cows and killing Brahmins. Religion which says this is very good. So they'll accept such religion and go to hell. So anyway, Maharaj Prithu, because he was pious king, then the earth surrendered to him. And as I was saying, a very favorable, auspicious situation was created in which all different classes of living entities could get the essence of their life. That essence which they considered most important would be yielded to them, following in the example of Prithu Maharaj. So here we find the first group that's described here are the sages. And of course, the sages, they do come first. They are the leaders of everyone because they are full of Vedic wisdom. So for the benefit of everyone, they made Brihaspati into a calf. And Brihaspati, because the idea is that the earth is in the form of a cow. So she gives milk to her calf. And the earth is actually Kamadenu. She's not just yielding one kind of essence, not just only milk, for instance, as we get from an ordinary cow. You get only one essence, milk. But she'll yield all kinds of essences according to the love of the calf. Because cow will give milk when you bring a calf near. Out of love, the milk will be produced. So, if you bring Brihaspati near, Mother Earth, in the form of a calf, then she will give that essence which is most dear to Brihaspati. Brihaspati, he is Guru. He's called, that's one of his names, Guru. Guru of the Devas. So what is most dear to him? The Vedic knowledge. So that Vedic wisdom was yielded in the bowl of the senses, it describes here. In the pot of the senses. So Vedic knowledge is transmitted in the form of Shabda. So Shabda has to be received through the senses, through the ears. And then furthermore, Shabda is realized when all the senses are engaged according to the direction of the sound. It is not simply theoretical, only for hearing, but it is for following. So the ears hear first, and all the other senses should follow. So this is the great, one of the great glories of having pious government, is that the value of Vedic knowledge is recognized. But just like nowadays, governments are demoniac. They're all thieves and rogues and rascals. These are the leaders. So they make propaganda, these governments. If you hear radio, shortwave radio especially, then you can hear, when I travel to different places, sometimes I'm hearing shortwave radio. And you can hear Radio Moscow, or BBC, or Radio Peking, or Voice of America. So transmitting 24 hours on the short wave, it goes all around the world. So people in little Indian villages, they have shortwave radio. They're tuning in and hearing Voice of America, or BBC, or Radio Moscow. But of course, they're only hearing materialistic propaganda, mundane sound vibration. This is the unfortunate situation today. Someone is tuning in to hear knowledge, and he gets cheated by some rascal who's supplying, just like on the BBC, they transmit so much nonsense. Cooking recipes, you know, how to cook meat in different ways, and how to play cards, and how to... all kinds of nonsense. Training everyone up to become an idiot. So, but in the case when leadership is pious, then there will also be propaganda. There will also be broadcasting, but it will be transcendental knowledge by which everyone can tune into the Absolute Truth and become liberated. So, today unfortunately, there are fools and rascals in charge, but still that situation can change by the influence of the devotees of the Lord who are bearing the Vedic literature. This verse is about the milking of Vedic knowledge. So, this Srimad Bhagavatam, for instance, is the cream, said to be the cream on the top of the milk of Vedic knowledge. Or it is also called the ripened fruit. So Veda is an essence. Veda is the essence of all knowledge. All different kinds of knowledge. You take the essence of that and you get Veda. And then again, you get the if you take the essence of Veda, you get Srimad Bhagavatam. So, around 400 years ago, something like that, maybe a little more, in a place called Vishnupur, that was between Vrindavan and Bengal. So there was one king, Biyahambiya, his name was. King Raja Biyahambiya. So, this king He was a professional bandit. Although he was king, his business was robbing. He used his army for that purpose, simply to rob. Now this is nothing so unusual, actually, because at the same time in Europe, you had the same thing going on. There were robber kings. In Germany, this Rhine River is flowing, and if you're in the region called the Rhine, Main, Moselle region, anyway, it's where all these beautiful paintings of Germany, the hills and the castles on top. So you go down this Rhine River, and you'll see so many castles. So why these castles were there? Because each one was a king. See, kilometer after kilometer, there's another castle, another castle. So each one was a king. And that Rhine River was the main, before the days of Autobahn or highway, they used rivers to transport the goods. So the Rhine River was one of the main thoroughfares, one of the main ways of transporting goods. So all these kings were building their castle right by the river to stop the boats and take tax, and sometimes just take everything off the boat. So someone who was transporting goods, he had to be faced with this. He had to bring a lot of money with him if he wanted to get his goods through, because he had to bribe king after king after king after king. So they were known as the robber kings. So that was also going on in Europe at the same time. So in India, this was also there, that Raja Biham Bia. So anyone who would come through his kingdom would be robbed. So three great Vaishnavas, Shyamananda and Narottam and Srinivas, they were sent from Vrindavan to Bengal with the books of the Goswamis. So books meant that they were leaves, banana leaves. In India, now you go to Mayapur, then you'll probably be eating off of a banana leaf. Mayapur Vrindavan Festival. You'll have this opportunity, cultural opportunity, to use a banana leaf as a plate. So it's a big green plate. So formerly, these banana leaves were also used for books, making books. So the Brahmins who would write the books, they would have a sharpened instrument and they would just make an impression with the sharpened instrument in the leaf. So in this way the letters would be visible. And then the leaves would be bound together by banyan roots. In the banyan tree, the branches go out and roots come down. It's always making new roots, new trunks. This way the banyan tree just gets not only taller but bigger this way. So they take those new roots that are coming down, they use for binding. So anyway, they had a very opulent looking box full of these kind of literatures by the Goswamis. And they were transporting, with the help of some assistants, this box from Vrindavan to Bengal on the order of Srila Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami wanted the transcendental literatures to be propagated in Bengal among the Vaishnavas there, because Vrindavan was the seat of all Gaudiya Vaishnava learning. That's where the Goswamis were staying, that's where they were writing their books. But back east in Bengal, of course, that's where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda, their associates had been preaching so much, so there were so many Vaishnavas. And they were preaching, but they had no books. You see? They were going on Sangirtan, but they had no books. So they were calling the BVT. We're out of books. And the BVT was Jiva Goswami. So he made a big collection of books. In those days, there was no printing press, so you just got Brahmins to copy. The Brahmins were the printing presses. They would copy the books. So he got a big box of these books. And it was, as I said, very opulent box, because it was just like if you go on Rath Yatra, you take the deities. There's Jagannath Rath Yatra, but in general, there are so many Rath Yatras, actually. Ratha means cart. So we celebrate Jagannath Rath Yatra, but in all great temples in India, they will have Rath Yatra with their, what is called Vijay Murti. They have the main deity, and they have a small Murti, and they put him on a cart. In South India especially, they have very amazing carts. I saw in Madras, there's one cart they made, one rat. It's as, it's as big, almost as big as a skyscraper. It's so huge. So they have these incredible huge carts. And in South India, the Rath Yatra cart in Jagannath Puri is actually very simple. But in South India, they make them. They look like spaceships. Something really far off. Like moving temples from another planet. Big, huge wheels. So anyway, so Rath Yatra means that the deity is being transported, and that's a big celebration. They worship the deity, they worship the cart. So similarly, the sacred literatures of the great Vaishnavas, which are the essence of the Vedas, essence of Bhagavatam even. So that is also right, like Rath Yatra. So they were bringing these books with kirtan, and they were worshipping the box in which the books were stored. It was a great celebration. So they came to this area, Vishnupur, and they camped for the night. Now this king, Bihambiya, he had his spies everywhere. So they would report to him what's going on. And so they reported, oh, there's a troop of men, sadhus, and they're headed east through your kingdom. And they have a big box with them. And the box is very decorated. And they worship this box. They're very careful about this box to set it down nicely in an elevated place. And they pay obeisances to this box. So there must be something very valuable. So then Bihambiya, he called his court astrologer. He had an astrologer. He said, so it's been reported that some men are bringing one box to my kingdom. What's in this box? So the astrologer, he did some calculation. And he couldn't figure out exactly what was in the box, but he could understand that what was in the box was incredibly valuable. Unlimited value. That's what he could understand. So he told us, oh, there's unlimited value in this box. So the king said, all right, then we get it. So they were taking rest, and the king came with his men at night, and they were very expert. They smuggled themselves or stole into the camp and carried off the box. So the next morning, the Vaishnavas awoke and looked. Oh, the box was gone. So they were very, very distressed. So they had a meeting, and they decided that Shyamananda and Naratam, because they had pressing preaching business in Bengal, they would go on ahead, and Srinivasacharya would stay there and recover these literatures and bring them on. So Srinivasacharya, he was inquiring from the local people, what could have happened to our box of holy books? And the local people said, oh, you didn't know? This is Vishnupur. This Raja Bihambiya is in charge. He's a big thief. Anything of value that any travelers bring through this place, he steals. So you just have to get it back from him. So then he was wondering, thinking about this, Then he happened to meet one Brahmin named Krishna Ballabha. So this Brahmana was very much impressed by Srinivasacharya, and when he heard Srinivasacharya speaking Krishna conscious philosophy, then he became convinced that this is a great saintly personality, I must surrender to him. So he accepted Srinivasacharya as spiritual master. So this Krishna Ballabha, he was a big Brahmin in that kingdom. So Srinivas, he asked him about the king, Biyaham Biya. And the Brahmin said, yes, I know him well. And actually, there has just recently been a big transformation of this king. His whole personality has changed. Formerly he was a thief, but now he's become a pious man. Oh, how did this happen? Well, you see, just recently, a few nights ago, he stole one big box from someone. Because this Krishna Ballabha, he didn't actually, he didn't know that Srinivasacharya was with that party. All he knew is that the king stole the box from someone. And this box, his astrologer had told him, was full of the most valuable treasure. So then Biyaham Biya, he had brought the box into his palace, and he opened up the top and looked inside, and the first thing he saw on top was a very valuable cloth covering. It was made of silk and embroidered so nicely with all kinds of nice decorations. So he became exceedingly happy, thinking, oh, just even look at the cloth on top. It looks so nice. So just imagine what will be inside. So very carefully he picked off the cloth, and then he looked inside, and he saw these banana leaf scriptures, and he was wondering, what is this? But then he looked just at the top leaf. It was a book by Srila Rupa Goswami. Now, you may remember that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he complimented Rupa Goswami for his writing. You remember this? When Rupa Goswami wrote a verse and placed it in the top of this kutir he was staying when he was at Puri. And then Mahaprabhu, he happened to see this when Rupa Goswami went off to take bath. Then Mahaprabhu, he happened to see this. He took it out and read it. And if it was a verse that was explaining the esoteric mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his mood of loving separation from Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya, he became very, very happy that two things, that Rupa Goswami, of course, understood his internal mood, but also he was very happy with Rupa Goswami's handwriting. And he said, your handwriting is so nice, it looks like a row of pearls. So when this Biyaham Biya, he just saw Rupa Goswami's handwriting. He was looking, not even reading, he just saw the handwriting. And all of the sins in his heart were cleared off just by seeing the handwriting. And he fell back, his heart had become completely pure. And then he was paying obeisances to this box and saying, what a sinful person I've been to steal this box of transcendental literatures. I have made someone very unhappy, I know it, because there's such a wealth of spiritual knowledge in here. So then he was completely changing. Then he called the Brahmins and said, so now every day come here to my palace and we'll have Bhagavatam class. Will you please read Srimad Bhagavatam and explain it for my benefit and the benefit of all my... You see, we're all thieves here. All my men, we've just been stealing. And now it's time for a big change, so we have to hear Bhagavatam. So Krishna Ballabha, that Brahmin, he told this to Srinivas. And he said, the king, he's very eager that The Brahmins come and give class. He's inviting all the Brahmins. So Srinivasacharya said, oh, I would also like to go sometime and teach Bhagavatam class there. Oh, why don't you go now? Oh, yes. So then Krishna Balabh and other Brahmins, they brought Srinivasacharya there. So when Srinivasacharya appeared in the court of Biyahambiya, then everyone was simply astonished to see such a saintly personality, looking so pure and effulgent and transcendental. So they gave him all honor. They gave him the seat. Bhagavatam reciter. So he began to recite Bhagavatam first of all, and his recitation was so beautiful, so perfectly pronounced, all the verses that he recited, and very melodious, sweet sound. So this immediately captivated the mind of the king. That, oh, I've never heard Bhagavatam recited like this, so sweetly. And then, after the recitation, came the explanation, the class, the purport. And he never heard such deep transcendental philosophy, such a brilliant devotional explanation of the verses of Bhagavatam. So then the king, he came before Srinivasacharya. He was paying obeisances and he was putting a cloth, binding his neck with a cloth. When a person binds his neck with a cloth, this is a sign of complete humility. It's like when a dog has a collar, you know. When a dog has a collar, then you can put the leash, the line on the collar, and drag the dog wherever you want. So when a person binds his neck, like we also, we bind our neck with kanti mala. That means we are this is called dog collar of the Vaishnavas. We become Krishna's dogs. So, Biyahambiya, he didn't know yet about kanti mala, so he just put the cloth around his neck. But it means, I am your dog. And so he was appearing like that before Srinivasacharya and becoming his disciple. And then Srinivas said, so my dear king, now that you are nicely surrendered and all of that, I have come to collect my box of transcendental literature. And the king, he was, oh, it is your box? Oh, I am so glad you came. I am feeling so ashamed. You of all persons, I was stealing this box from. Oh, I was such a rascal, please forgive me. Now I've changed. I don't do this anymore. Actually, your box was the last thing I stole. When I saw the writing of Rupa Goswami on the top, my whole life changed just from seeing. So after that, this Biyahambiya became a very famous Vaishnava king. So we have this very nice example to show how even in the Kali Yuga, even a rascal leader who is simply sworn to stealing, just by seeing the letters of the transcendental literatures, not even reading, just by seeing the top cover, just like Prabhupada's books looking very beautiful. So just by seeing that, the top cover, then his whole heart, all the sins off his heart, they became cleansed. So therefore, this should be inspiration for us to distribute these books, especially to those who are sitting in the high offices. Let them see Srimad Bhagavatam. Let their hearts become purified by seeing. Let them bind their necks with cloth and surrender to the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hare Krishna. Any question? Rukmini Raman, you had a question.
Maybe I can ask this completely in a private fashion.
Oh. All right. Any other question? Public question, yes.
The other day we speak about being poor and serving in separation. And then you said, Lord Chaitanya, he was part of the Brahmana, he was saving the most poor. Those who are proud of education and wealth, they cannot approach the holy man in a proper manner. But they mean that they cannot take mercy. Goes back to him and call him the greatest problem is this crime.
Yeah, so the point is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the savior of the most fallen. But then one has to also recognize that I am fallen. Then he can take the mercy. So that's why someone is puffed up with birth and opulence and bodily beauty and education, they will have a difficult time to take the mercy. But Mahaprabhu's mercy is also means his associates and representatives coming down the disciplic succession. So Srila Prabhupada said that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prabhupada once said, he has a headache thinking about the fallen souls. So therefore, it is the duty of the associates and the followers, the devotees, to relieve Lord Chaitanya of his headache. So they become very aggressive to do this. So they want to deliver this mercy. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving his mercy, just like the sun is giving the sunshine. But even sun is giving sunshine, there are so many living entities who flee from that, who flee under stones, into caves. They cannot be exposed to the sun, they can't bear it. So Lord Chaitanya's servants, however, they will carry this light even into the darkest place, because they know this is all auspicious. Even some foolish living entity is thinking, no, I cannot bear this blinding light of spiritual knowledge of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. It is not for me. But the servants of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they will come and convince him, no, it is for you, take it. Drop all your foolish pride and take this. So, I said last time, Srila Prabhupada said, our business is to interfere with the plans of the materialists. Materialists have their plan to go to hell. That is their plan. They've had a big meeting. All kinds of brainy people, influential people have come to this meeting. A big long desk, you see, in some skyscraper. Men sitting in their dark suits and tie, and some white-haired business magnate or whoever, political leader, scientist, has stood up in front, a big board with many formulas on it, and come to the conclusion, the bottom line is, we're all going to hell. So he said, this is the plan. And they've all agreed. Yes, let us go to hell. And so they're arranging society in that way. Everyone will go to hell. They're convinced this is the best. Hell is a very nice place, so we're going. Pack up the car. So the devotees, you see, we cannot just sit by and watch this happen. Well, we can think, well, I've got Lord Chaitanya's mercy. But Lord Chaitanya has a headache thinking about everyone else. So we should not be satisfied with that. We have to go out and distribute this mercy to others, and they will have all their own ideas how to go to hell. We must go to hell. Don't try and stop me from going to hell. But we have to smash these ideas. We have to defeat them. It is a duty. So then, in this way, the preaching means to reveal the actual swarup, or the, of the living entity, of the jiva. And his swarup, his actual position, is that he is very tiny and insignificant. That's actually the meaning of most fallen. Most fallen, simply, it's a philosophical thing, philosophical point, that we are very, 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 very tiny, anu, atomic. And because we are so tiny and also foolish, we have fallen under the grip of Maya. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has come to deliver the tiny, fallen, conditioned souls. He's extending his mercy. So we have to just see our position and take that mercy. So the Vaishnavas are preaching. By preaching Krishna conscious philosophy, we are clearing the way for others to take that mercy.
I wonder if you can explain it a little, but it's one of the qualities of Krishna, and it's also the qualities of devotees, gravity. So can you explain a little about this quality? Why it is a good quality, and also how it differs from, for example, the gravity of a person playing poker, for example, you know, like, you know, the difference, but yeah, how it is.
Gravity means sobriety, means being sober. The opposite of sober is being drunk, inebriated. Means intoxicated. So the intoxicant is Maya. Prabhupada said the intoxication, like drugs and drinking and all that, these are spices, simply spices in the main intoxication, which is Maya. So everybody who's in Maya is intoxicated. They're carried away by the mind and senses. Their consciousness is filled with so many illusory conceptions. They're hallucinating, as if they're on a big LSD trip. So they're not grave. That's the whole point. They're not sober. They're crazy. Insane. Talking so much nonsense, doing so much nonsense. What is that? There's one verse Prabhupada gives, Pisacha Pila Yena Mandhichana Hoy. Maya Grasta Hoy Se Baba Udoy. Which means a person who's in Maya is just like being haunted by a ghost. Talking only nonsense. A ghostly haunted person will rave all kinds of craziness. So that's the meaning. All this prajalpa that's going on the streets, in the radio, on the TV, in the newspapers, filling the libraries, volumes and volumes and volumes of prajalpa. That's what we mean by, you see, no gravity or lack of sobriety.